Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things I love about our church here, Oak Harbor Lutheran Church, is our sanctuary, and especially our windows, right? I think everybody loves the windows in this sanctuary. We get to look out at this beautiful little forest, these majestic trees rising up behind us here. It's magnificent. It's a magnificent view. Whenever new people come in, that's the first thing they notice. What a stunning view you have in your sanctuaries. You look out on all of those beautiful trees. It's been especially fun lately to have these windows and these trees behind us. If you've been to worship the last few weeks, you've seen how this little forest is a home to many different kinds of creatures. We have had a record number of little fawns this spring who have enjoyed blessing us with their presence at just the right time during worship. They've been frolicking out here. Don't think I don't know that they're behind me. I can see it in your eyes. You brighten up. You start to smile at weird places in the liturgy. And I know what's going on. I've had people come and tell me that they have seen birds and rabbits and butterflies and even a raccoon. Somebody told me that they saw all those things on one single Sunday. It's like I'm preaching in the middle of a Disney movie up here sometimes. And I remember a couple of years ago when we needed to clear out some of those trees in our little forest. I remember the anxiety in the congregation. People were worried, would it look the same back there if we clear out some trees? We had some old alder that were at the end of their life cycle. They were dead or dying, and they posed a danger, so they needed to be cleared out. And I remember the anxiety about taking those trees out. But I also remember the passion that people brought in putting in new seedlings. We had dozens and dozens of Western Red Cedar and Doug Fir seedlings that people went out and planted. I remember the passion that people had in stopping by in the middle of the week to carry heavy buckets of water out to nurture and water those little seedlings. And we see today, it's only been a couple of years, but those seedlings have really taken root. We have seen that our little forest is as full as ever, and that it still remains a home to a number of different wonderful creatures. There's a lot of life and vitality going on out there. But what about on this side of the glass? What about what's going on inside the sanctuary? Wouldn't we like to see as much life and vitality as growth in here as we do out there? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see growing numbers of kids frolicking inside the sanctuary, even more than we have now? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see growing numbers of new people coming into our church to make this place their home? Wouldn't we love to see our members here growing taller and stronger in faith, such like the cedars of Lebanon, as the scriptures talk about? And how can we make that happen? Well, we need to be careful about the language that we use, because we can't make that happen at all. God makes it happen. That's clear from our parable that we hear in the gospel reading this morning. As Jesus describes the kingdom of God, he says it's like someone goes out and scatters seed and then goes to sleep. They don't run around pulling people by the ear. They don't toss and turn at night wondering what's going to happen next. They scatter that seed and then they go to sleep. The seeds sprout and grow. They know not how. The earth produces of itself, and then there is a harvest. There's seed to be scattered, but God makes it happen. But the other important point that really needs to be lifted up today is that God uses means to make it happen. God uses his word to make it happen. God uses seed sowers to make it happen. God uses people like us. God makes it happen, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum. God uses means. God uses words that are spoken, words that are shared. God uses people. God uses us. Our second reading from 2 Corinthians this morning is a really helpful supporting text in this regard. St. Paul is describing the Christian life and what it looks like. And he says, first of all, that we are confident. We are confident, Paul writes. We are confident because of the promises God has given us. We are not confident in ourselves. That would be foolish. We are not confident in the world around us. That's even more foolish. We are confident because of God's promises. God has promised us that his will indeed be done. And that gives us a confidence. Paul goes on to say that we walk by faith, not by sight. We can't always see how those promises are being fulfilled. And so we walk by faith, we walk by trust. We don't walk by evidence. We don't walk by proofs. We walk by faith. That's really hard to do sometimes, but that's how Paul describes the Christian life. We walk by faith and not by sight. Paul goes on to say that we make it our aim to please God in the way that we live in this world. We are forgiven sinners until the day that we die, that's for sure. But God does a work in our heart when we start to follow Christ such that we make it our aim to please God in the way that we live. Knowing the fear of the Lord, Paul says, we try to persuade others. That's part of the Christian life too, trying to persuade others. Our faith is not private. We are called to witness. We are called to invite. We are called to proclaim. We're called to share the faith that is in us. We're called to scatter that seed. The love of Christ urges us on, Paul says. We know that Christ died for all, and so we share the good news so that all might live for him. But we need to be careful how we do this. We need to be careful how we scatter that seed, how we share the good news. I was down at Safeco Field last month. That's a really great place to be these days, folks. I went with my family on my birthday last month, actually on my birthday, to Safeco Field for a Mariners game. And as we were entering into Safeco Field, the main entrance there, right by the Ken Griffey Jr. statue, the main entrance into the park, there was a man there who was preaching the gospel through a bullhorn. He was literally yelling the gospel. Now, this wasn't a hate monger. He wasn't saying God hates anybody. It was a pretty typical type of Christian message, repent and believe the good news. It wasn't unlike the language anyway. It wasn't unlike things that I have heard myself saying, especially during the Lenten season, for instance. It was the delivery that was so absurd. He was yelling the gospel. It was loud and it was rude and it was aggressive. This man was not scattering seed. He was shooting it out of a cannon. And it was doing about as much damage as a cannon would do. So we need to be careful how we scatter that seed, how we witness, how we share the gospel with other people. We need to understand the context in which people are living. We need to respect where they're at. We need to be gentle and kind and loving, always, always loving. So we shouldn't be loud in how we share the gospel, but we shouldn't be silent either. We have seeds to plant. We have a word to share. And I think the bigger issue with us who are gathered here this morning is not that we're proclaiming the gospel too loudly, it's that we aren't sharing it at all. Many years ago, the former presiding ELCA bishop, Mark Hansen, he had kind of a stump speech. I heard him give it at a few different places, where he liked to cite a survey that had been given that suggested that the average Lutheran Christian invites somebody to worship once every 27 years. I doubt that's changed very much. Lutheran Christians have so emphasized the fact that God does it all that we forget that he uses us. The point of this parable is not that God makes it grow so we can forget about it. Jesus didn't tell this parable so that we can clam up and only invite somebody to worship once every 27 years. It's just the opposite. Jesus tells this parable for the opposite reason. He tells it to empower us. Jesus assures us that God will grow something out of our efforts. And so he's encouraging us to scatter the seed. He assures us that there will be a harvest. So go out and plant. Go out and share the faith that is in you. Jesus tells this parable so that we will have the kind of confidence that Paul writes about. We are confident that there will be a harvest. God will cause it to grow. And so we scatter the seed. Those seeds might not grow in ways that we expect. Sometimes that growth may not look like very much. In the second parable Jesus tells, that comes right on the heels of the first, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that is very small, but it grows into the greatest of all the shrubs. Did you catch the joke there in that parable? The greatest of all shrubs? That's like the greatest of all sushi restaurants in Kansas, right? How great can it be? The greatest of all shrubs. I think this is a joke here. Because Jesus had other language that he could have drawn on to tell this parable. There's this well-known imagery in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, that describes God's kingdom as a cedar tree. Now, there's a tree. Not this mustard shrub, scraggly bush. There's this cedar tree, this towering, majestic, fragrant tree that stands as a symbol of God's kingdom. That's what we heard in the Ezekiel reading for this morning. It's what we heard in the psalm that we sang together. The cedars of Lebanon. Ezekiel points to the noble cedar planted on a high and lofty mountain as a place where birds can live and find shade and rest. That's a symbol for the kingdom of God. But Jesus doesn't go there. He goes to the mustard seed and the greatest of all shrubs, right? Sometimes the kingdom of God doesn't look like we expect. It doesn't look very majestic. It doesn't look very powerful. It doesn't look very impressive. Sometimes it's like that scraggly bush in your backyard, common, everyday, humble. And yet, even then, it is a place where birds can find shade and can find rest and can make a home. Our little forest behind me here isn't a perfectly manicured park. It is a little bit scraggly yet in places, and yet it is a home to many wonderful creatures. In the same way, our congregation is not perfect. It is a little scraggly in some ways. But God has made a home for us here that we might rest in the shade of his love for us. Those who planted the seedlings out back there did so out of great love for the forest. They wanted to see things grow back there. And in the same way, our love for Christ Church sends us out to plant seeds and to watch for them to grow. God has created this congregation. God has created this place not only for us. It isn't just for us alone. It exists for those who aren't here yet as well, so that they might find a home, so that they might find rest, so that they might find shade and a place to live in the presence of God. God gives the growth, but God uses us. God works through us to plant those seeds. And Christ's love urges us on in this important work. Those people who planted those seedlings out there, Western Red Cedar and Doug Fir, we will never see those trees come to full maturity. Western Red Cedar has a lifespan of over 150 years. So none of us who are presently in this room will see those trees at their full maturity. And in the same way, we won't always see the impact we're having as we share the gospel. We won't always see the impact of the seeds that we are sowing. God's growing season is different. God's growing season is longer. God's growing season sometimes seems erratic from our human perspective. And so sometimes it will look like those seeds didn't take. Sometimes it will look like those seeds have died. Sometimes it will look like nothing is growing. But we don't scatter those seeds expecting immediate results. We're not growing chia pets here. We live by faith and not by sight. We scatter that seed trusting that while we are sleeping, while we are resting in God's promises, God will make those seeds grow. God will bring in a harvest. These past few Sundays, we've seen all kinds of new life abounding outside of these windows. But God is giving new life on this side of the glass, too, as he plants the word in our hearts here this morning, as he renews us in the promise of the harvest, and as God urges us on in the love of Christ to scatter the seed of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like you to stand now as you're able as we sing together our hymn of the day.